Hey all, it's Dan. We got a killer show coming up in just a second with comedian Brad Williams and Rob Dietrich, the master distiller of Blackened, which is Metallica's whiskey. But first, it is the holidays, and I want to tell you about a special offer from one of our sponsors, MeUndies. That's right, MeUndies. They offer classic colors, ridiculous prints on their underwear, and they're running a special right now on The Mandalorian. That's right, The Child. It features The Child. You've got pullover hoodie, you've got onesies, lounge pants, Henleys, all featuring that cute little baby Yoda. I don't even know what his name is. It's exciting. And MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. First-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. Just go to MeUndies.com/drinking. That's MeUndies.com/drinking. And may the Force be with you. And now a word from one of our dream sponsors, Harvey's Bristol Cream, circa 1979.
David, would you like to come over for a drink tonight? Kate.
I can't believe I wrote that.
I'm glad you did.
Until recently, I'd never have invited a man over for a drink. It wasn't considered respectable. But this is now. And when you're serving Harvey's Bristol Cream, it's more than respectable. It's downright upright.
Harvey's Bristol Cream.
Say, David, are you free Tuesday?
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
Oh boy, am I excited. You know, a lot of time, if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that when we start, I'm alone at the top. We have a guest, but I'm alone, and I talk and I do things. But you know what? Today, I'm not alone. You're not alone, Dan. I'm so happy about that. In fact, I'm joined by one of the funniest comedians out there. He has appeared on Dave Attell's Comedy Underground, The Tonight Show, Robot Chicken, Jimmy Kimmel Live. He's been in the hit Netflix movies, Little Evil, Christopher Guest's Mascots. His one-hour comedy special, Fun Size, was the highest-rated comedy special on Showtime in 2015. And then a year later, what did he do a year later? Kick some more ass, followed that up with a special called Daddy Issues, about which the New York Times, the august New York Times, opined, no one is doing it more hilariously. His podcast About Last Night was a mainstay on the iTunes charts. He is a regular on the Adam Carolla podcast, as well as guest appearances on Mark Maron's WTF, Joe Rogan Experience, Your Mom's House, and This Past Weekend. And none other than the great Robin Williams once called him Prozac with a head. And the wannabe great Dan Dunn is calling him an extremely talented, funny motherfucker who I can't wait to drink whiskey with. Please welcome to the show, Brad Williams. Brad.
Dan Dunn, thank you for the nice introduction. That was very kind. And yeah, you are certainly a man who I have heard on the Adam Carolla show. And every time you are on that show, I just think, God, I just want to go drinking with that guy. And now I get to do that. It's so great. I think one of the best parts about having any kind of clout, fame, whatever you want to call it, in this business is being able to hear someone or see someone you like just go, I want to talk to that person.
Yeah, you hit me up. You hit me up on Twitter.
That's right.
That's the best. Yeah, man. And I'm right back at you. I'm a fan as well, and I want to get into your career and everything. I also want to let everybody know what Brad and I are going to be drinking. On what we're drinking is Blackened, and I've been an evangelist for Blackened since the beginning. It is a fantastic American whiskey. I got it right here. It is owned by the fellas in a little band called Metallica, And in just a few minutes, Brad, you and I are going to be joined by Rob Dietrich, who is the master distiller at Blackened. And Rob is a lot of fun. And more importantly, the dude knows how to make whiskey. And so we're going to be geeking out talking to him in just a couple minutes. But first, man, I want to talk about you. I'm a fan of your comedy. I've watched it for years. I went back and was reviewing some stuff in anticipation of doing this. And I got to tell you, man, one of my favorite parts from Fun Size, the special I referenced earlier, was you refer to yourself as you were talking about your ability to get laid. And you said, of course I'm getting laid. I'm one of the top five midgets in show business. And so now this was about 5 years ago. I want to ask you, can you remember who the top five were in order on that list?
Oh, I believe number one was Dinklage. Fuck that guy. now, of course, I say that in jest just because I'm extremely jealous of the man because he is very popular. He gets all the acting roles. He's probably doing some exclusive sit down with Oprah right now, and I'm with Dan Dunn. That's how.
That's right. I am the Oprah of the drinking world. I've been called that.
I will take that over the actual Oprah. Yeah. Thank you.
He can't handle her.
But yes, I believe Peter Dinklage is number one. I believe Wee Man from Jackass is number two.
Number two.
I think, did I say I was number three or was somebody else number three?
You put somebody else in front of you. British chap.
Oh, Warwick Davis, Willow.
Warwick Davis from Willow, you put at number three.
Yeah, I'm number four, and then I think number five I said was Justin Bieber. now, granted, this was like 5-6 years ago that I made that joke. He grew a little bit since then. I think he's gone out of the dwarf realm, so he's no longer welcome at the Shire. But I think I may have moved up.
I would put you ahead of Warwick Davis, man. Warwick Davis, although I believe I saw something recently where they're going to remake Willow. So you better get your shit together, man, because Warwick Davis is coming for you.
Yes, and oh my God, I'm so excited that they're remaking Willow. Basically, the end of Return of the Jedi where it goes through all the different lands and they shows everybody partying all over the galaxy. That was the dwarf world when they announced that they were going to remake Willow. Just everyone, every dwarf all over the world.
We're all getting work. We're all getting work. Yes.
it's this weird thing where like now I'm watching Christmas commercials that are out right now. And like there's a Toyota one that's very specific where they're in the car dealership and all of a sudden, the customer accidentally opens up a gateway into Santa's workshop, and it's Santa and all the elves working on Toyotas. And not one of the elves is a dwarf. I'm happy about that, and yet pissed off about that at the same time. I'm glad that we've moved beyond a world where my people can just be elves and leprechauns. But then I'm sad because I'm like, damn it, man, that would have been a good paycheck because that would have been nice.
Well, what I love about your comedy, man, is you talk about being, and by the way, you use all different terminology. You refer to yourself at various times as a midget, as a dwarf, as a little person. What is the proper terminology? Because, you know, people get freaked out, and that's got to probably be funny to you when people get freaked out because they don't know what to say. And I don't, actually. So if I said my friend Brad is a little person, is that the way to go?
Yes.
And then when we get drunk, I'm like, that fucking dwarf. Hey, I'm with the fucking dwarf when I get a couple of whiskeys in me. Yeah, the guy over there.
That funny fucking midget.
I will take another round and the midget's going to pay for it. Yeah, yes, you know, there we go.
Exactly. One more whiskey and I'm a pygmy. And I don't even know when that got on the list. So, yes, you are very correct. Little person is sort of the uber PC. Like if you really want to be polite, you go little person or LP if you want to be really in the world. And then dwarf. Dwarf, some people don't like dwarf. I don't understand. We have dwarfism.
That's the name of you were born with dwarfism. I heard you say that in one of your comedy routines.
Yes, I have achondroplastic dwarfism. So I don't know why it's offensive for it to be called a dwarf, but some people don't like that, but that's kind of number two. Midget is the word that you're not supposed to use, but like I don't mind it. I don't, it doesn't piss me off because I've never wanted a word to have power over me. It's not like if you call me a midget, I then immediately have to start doing a midget thing. Like, it's not like, oh no, I was at a bar, you called me a midget, now I have to go mine for diamonds or make a cookie or build a chocolate bar or whatever. Like, I don't want that to have power over me. So I don't mind the word midget, but don't use it in front of other little people. And for me, it's all about context. Like, I recently told this story on WTF, but I once got chased in Odessa, Texas, by a few guys in a pickup truck yelling, "Kill the dwarf." And
oh, shit.
It wasn't, I didn't stop and go like, oh, thank you for using the proper term, I really appreciate it. No, I fucking ran. Like, because I didn't want to take the time. So, yes, that is, I don't really care so much about terms. It's more so our relationship, how you're using it, and context is important.
I thought, and I don't remember which special it was in, but you, one of the great things you said when you were talking about becoming a comedian, you said, and I'm going to fuck it up, but essentially the gist of it was, yeah, I'm going to be a comedian. All I have to do is just sit back and let shit happen. Because when you're a little person, funny shit happens all the time. And mostly in regards to the way people relate to you.
Yes. To answer your question, and to do the bit, I'm kind of destined to be a comedian because here's how I write jokes. Step one, be a dwarf. Step two, wait. And then just funny stuff's going to happen to you. And thankfully it does. And thankfully I'm not usually two or three whiskeys in. So I have a decent enough memory that I can remember what happened and then bring it to the stage or the drive-in performance or the Zoom gig. Now that we're doing these. That is kind of how I write jokes. I got pretty lucky that way that I decided to be a comedian and I'm able to, but every comic looks at their life to see what's going to help them. And that's where they look for material, whether it be they were born, you know, they're Jewish and or they're raised in the hood or whatever. My experience was being raised a little person, as a dwarf. So that's what I talk about. But my entire act isn't like that. It's not like if you come see me, I'm going to be doing like an hour of, I could take a bath in a thimble. That's weird. Like, it's not that. I talk about other things but I have to talk about my size on stage because if I don't, the entire audience just kind of stares at me like, does he know?
Well, I think that that's the thing that you do so well. You address that part of you. And as you said, you're also doing comedy of a different nature, you know, like you say that if you don't address it, people are going to just look at you the whole time and go, oh, he's little, but I don't even think about it anymore. You know, I watch 5 minutes of your comedy and then you just bring me in with the humor. And that's the thing. And that's about any great comedian that's got, you know, whether it's Stephen Wright, whose shtick is, you know, just that super dry, you know, Jewish humor, but it doesn't matter after a couple of minutes, that part of it goes away. And it's just, man, this guy's really funny.
Well, thank you. And that's kind of the goal. The goal is that you're not watching me the whole time just going like, he's a midget, he's a midget, he's a midget, he's a midget. Like, I don't want that to be your experience watching me. And that happens in life. Like, my friends will forget I'm a little person. They'll ask me to read something and I'm like, dude, no, are you a dick? Like, why are you asking me to get that for you? Or we'll be out and about and someone will be staring at me and they'll be like, why are they staring at you, Brad? And I'll be like, look at me. I'm a fucking human keychain. Like, that's why they're staring at me. But then they kind of shock back into it like, oh, right. Forgot. So that's totally natural. Totally normal. I will say that going to bars is always interesting because then you introduce alcohol, and alcohol makes people say things and do things they wouldn't normally do. And whether that be stuff that I do or say, or stuff that people around me do or say in the bar, a night out can always be could always be interesting.
Well, I apologize in advance for anything I ask that's inappropriate, but I got to know, when you're drinking, is your tolerance lower? I'm sorry, but is it? You know, I remember Howard Stern talking to Dinklage about that. Like, and Dinklage said, no, he goes drink for drink with, you know, with his buddies. And is it, would you say your tolerance is, how many whiskeys does it take to get you where you're possibly?
Well, one usually gets me pretty toasty. If I get to two, having a damn good time. Three, floor.
Well, we better bring Rob in quick then, because I don't want to lose you before the end of the podcast here, bro.
My nickname in college was Two Beer Brad. Now some dwarves like Dinklage can go shot for shot, drink for drink with guys, and well done. But my relationship with alcohol, I don't really drink a lot of alcohol. And some people say you don't like alcohol. Is that why you don't really drink before shows or whatever? And I say, no, I love alcohol. And that's why I don't drink it that much, because I want to keep a very healthy relationship with alcohol. I don't want to have to ever put it down.
By the way, that's a motto that an ethos that we embrace here on the show as well. And I'm sure the guy we're going to talk to in a minute is going to agree with you on that as well. Why don't we do this? Let's run this quick spot here, and then we're going to come back with Brad Williams and Rob Dietrich from Black & Whiskey. So we'll be right back after this break. But listen to the break. Listen to the ad. Keep us in business. Is there something interfering with your happiness, preventing you from achieving your goals? Yeah, it's called a pandemic. I've been struggling with it, and at times I've kind of felt alone. And well, thanks to this sponsor, I know that I'm not. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. That's right. You need to talk to somebody. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. Now, this is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit betterhelp.com/drinking. That's better, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. There's a special offer for my listeners. You're going to get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/drinking. If you need help, it's there for you.
Hi, this is Will Forte, and you're, for some reason, listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. You made your choice.
Gold. And we're back. I'm with Brad Williams, the great Brad Williams. Funny man. And I...
Thank you, sir.
I do encourage everybody to hop on the YouTube and watch Brad do comedy. It's going to make you feel good. And also, joining us right now, somebody who makes us feel good with every bottle of whiskey he makes. He is he's a stud in this industry. And there's an industry full of studs, but few hold a candle to this man. He is the master distiller for blackened American whiskey, coming to us, I believe, from the great state of Colorado right now. Is that where he's coming
from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rob Dietrich. First,
thanks for the kind words. I'm in my greenhouse, which is where I can also smoke cigars safely in the house. So.
Well, thanks for joining us, man. And this is Brad. Brad, Rob.
Brad, it's a huge pleasure.
When Brad reached out to me, he said, I want to do your show and I want to drink whiskey. And I thought, I know exactly the whiskey we should be drinking and exactly the whiskey expert we should be talking to. And that's you, Robin. So tell us a little bit about your story at Blackened.
First of all, it's a pleasure to meet you, Brad. I'm a big fan of yours. I love your work as well. And besides, man, you got great taste in quarterbacks back there. I am a huge Elway fan. So I see a couple Denver Broncos things back there.
Brad's got an Elway jersey hanging up in the background there.
Are you a Denver guy?
Yeah. So Rob, we'll get back to you in a second. Trust me, because I want to know your story. But just to answer your question, I'm a massive Denver Broncos fan. Not from Colorado, but my dad went to Stanford, wanted me to support a Stanford-led football team. And at the time, that was Elway with the Broncos or Plunkett with the Raiders. And I don't have any face tattoos or priors. So we had to go with Elway and the Broncos. I've been a I've been a Bronco fan my entire life. I got to meet John almost a year ago today. In fact, as we're recording this, he had me come out and perform for his auto dealership Christmas party. He has a bunch of auto dealerships out there in Colorado, and I performed. And I got to meet John. I got to go to, I was supposed to fly home the very next day. And I told him that. And he goes, "Oh man, you should stay till Sunday. Cause I got, I would have invited you to the game. The Broncos are playing the Lions." And I'm like, so I called my 8.5 month pregnant wife and was like, "Hey, I'm staying in Colorado for another couple of days." And, she, God bless her, let me stay. And I got to watch a game in John's box and hang out with him. And that was the dream of all dreams. It was great.
That's huge, man. That's a huge treat. This actually is kind of full circle with the whiskey that I started in was, Stranahan's Colorado Whiskey in Colorado. That's where I learned how to make whiskey, and Elway is a huge fan of that whiskey. So I got to meet him the first time. And my boss at the time who taught me how to distill, Elway said, "Hey, can you sign a poster for me?" So my boss literally signed a whiskey poster for Elway. He's like, "This is going in my man cave." So we were like high-fiving and like super stoked about that.
That's so cool. That's, isn't it weird how like, whether it be an athlete or a musician or whatever you're into, there's always like that person in your life that's just like, holy crap, that's the dude, or you know what I mean? And when you get to do certain things very, very well, be it comedy or make whiskey, sometimes you get to meet those people. And they say never meet your heroes, but if your hero is John Elway, you can meet that one. He's a good dude.
I would totally agree, man. That's And the whiskey business does seem to do that. I get to meet, some folks that I have always just kind of been in awe of throughout my life as well.
Are you talking about me, Rob? No, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Dan, you were the first one. I met you on stage.
And by the way, dream fulfillment. Rob plays a role in that. This wasn't about meeting somebody, but when Rob was at Stranahan's, they had me come in and they did a dinner on stage at Red Rocks, one of the most iconic venues in the world, Red Rocks, and Stranahan's, and it was me and a small group of people. Rob was the ringleader of this whole thing. We had dinner on stage. They took us down beneath into the bowels of Red Rocks, where all the walls are signed by every band that's ever played there, and it was the most amazing thing, and I'm getting chills just talking about it right now. So a great perk of being in this business is getting to meet someone like Rob, who graciously brings you in and lets you see something that I don't know if I ever would have had a chance to do that.
That was an epic event, because it was kind of another full circle experience. I spent 10 years in the music industry doing music production and, tour management and stage management. So I'd worked at Red Rocks, with like anybody from the Allman Brothers to, I'd seen Nine Inch Nails there and Chris Cornell. And I mean, I was like, so for me, it was like this full circle experience where I kind of got to headline Red Rocks in my own weird way, even though I'm not a musician by any stretch of the imagination. So it is pretty cool just to kind of see where everything ends up.
Well, and I mean, let's talk about music. Where it ends up is, it even gets crazier, is now you make whiskey for Metallica. The guy who originally created Black and was a gentleman by the name of Dave Pickerel. Anybody that listens to this show knows I've talked about Dave. Dave was a legendary whiskey maker, Maker's Mark, Whistle Pig, on and on. More, I think he was Garrison Brothers. He was involved with them and on and on. And Dave sadly passed away about 2 years ago, very suddenly. And the Blackened had just happened, and there was, there was so much fanfare for this whiskey. And I got to figure in, when you're talking about James and the band and the crew that was putting, how the hell are we going to replace this guy? How are we going to replace, who's the guy to replace this guy? And I got to tell you, when I heard it was Rob, it just made absolute, having met Rob prior to, it made absolute sense to me. And I know Rob's going to be the first one to say that he's never going to replace Dave Pickerel, but if the man for the job, once I couldn't think who it was going to be, but once they picked you, Rob, I thought, well, that's a no brainer. So tell us how you how'd they come to you for this?
No, that's very kind, man. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's true. I'm not replacing Dave in any way, shape, or form. Dave had such an amazing legacy. Sorry about the dog next door. It's the neighbor's dog.
That's okay.
Don't worry about it.
His name's Kilo.
Wow. So another, you got booze in one building and cocaine.
Right, yeah, and then just next door, you know, you got the little gate and the fence and it just, you know, it's true. I mean, Dave had left such a legacy, and really this was his legacy whiskey. This is exactly what he was wanting to really kind of be his Lord of the Rings trilogy. You know, it really was just going to knock it out of the park with it. And it was really kind of humbling just to kind of walk into it. And, you know, and a lot of people have said, well, you know, there's some big shoes to fill. And I said, well, there's no way I'm going to fill those shoes. I'm bringing my own shoes. You know, I'm going to do things my way and continue to be committed to, you know, the legacy that he left behind and explore my own kind of schemes and dreams of making unusual expressions of whiskey. So I'm ecstatic. And the cool thing about it is, you know, I'm working with artists, and these are guys that approach life and living through art. You know, their music is their art, and they take it very seriously. And at the same time, they obviously have a lot of fun doing it. And for me, I'm really honored to be able to work with these guys and kind of have a free run at whatever whiskeys I want to kind of create and maneuver through, and these expressions that have been bubbling around in the brain matter for years, and now get to kind of make their way to the surface. So it's pretty humbling and pretty exciting.
Well, how hands-on are they, Rob? How much input do you get from the band?
Well, I think, you know, they've always had their fingers on this process. They were really adamant that this whiskey stood on its own. You know, they didn't want to go to a large distillery and say, hey, make a Metallica line. We're going to slap Metallica all over it. We're going to metallicize everything. They went to Dave Pickerel. I mean, the guy is the craft distiller. He's a legend. And so they really chose wisely in the sense that they wanted to pick someone who was just as much of a kind of a rock star in his vocation and create something that spectacular can stand on its own. And that's, you know, and that it's really, when you start tearing apart all the nuances of this whiskey, it's, he really did throw everything at it. It's pretty, pretty phenomenal.
Brad, I'm curious, have you ever had Blackened before today?
I have not. I'm really excited because of, I read the bottle and it started talking about it's sound waves. It's like sound waves is put into it, and that's how it's put more into the barrel or something. I'm sure Rob could explain this way better than I am, but yeah. And I get excited because I get excited for different techniques like that. Like, I know that one of my other favorites is Jefferson's Ocean, which is aged at sea, where the barrels are put on a boat or something, and they say like it rocking back and forth subtly helps the flavor of the whiskey. So like, and I love that whiskey. So I'm really excited to try this because I like it when people look at something. I mean, whiskey, how long has it been around for? And yet we're still finding new and interesting ways of making it better. So the fact that it's like sound infusion, I'm excited as hell.
Yeah. So basically what we do is we just take sound and we put it in a blender and just, you know, blend it up really good. And then we just pour it right into the barrel, you know, and then it's an unusual method, but
James holds the barrels and he rocks them back and forth and sings to them, yeah. Right? Little lullabies. Isn't that how it works? But what it is actually called, the process, Rob, is sonic enhancement. Is that what you're calling it still?
Yes. Yeah, so we trademarked the process. It's called Black Noise. And it is pretty extraordinary. So what we're, you know, our base whiskey is a blend of bourbon and rye, bourbon and rye, average age of 8 years in white American oak. So we're taking, you know, Tennessee bourbon, Kentucky bourbon, Indiana rye, Canadian rye, and we're blending them together to create, you know, all these whiskeys can really stand on their own, but they create a phenomenal whiskey. We could have honestly stopped right there and been like, okay, we got an awesome whiskey. Then we went for the cask finish, which, as you know, that's one of my favorite, tricks up my sleeve is cask finishing a whiskey. So we, Dave went with black brandy barrels, which is a Spanish brandy. And we could have stopped there. That would have been another place to stop. But the cool thing is this is where it's fun, where we're taking these traditional methods of making whiskey and blending and cask finishing and going this next level of using technology and innovation that is at our fingertips. I mean, you got the wall of sound of Metallica at your fingertips. Why not find a way to use that in the process? And I'm a whiskey nerd first and foremost. I like just knowing everything is, how to pick it apart, how it was created. And my first question about this whole thing was, how does it work? How does the sonic enhancement work? And what was really cool, the science behind it, you know, we had in the early days, we had a control barrel, which is the barrel that we were cask finishing, but did not apply black noise to. And then we had a barrel that we did apply the black noise process to. And I'll get into what we do with that here in a second. But we sent both of those samples off to the lab, and it was extraordinary. You know, we're looking for 9 different flavor profile markers that come out of the wood, out of the barrel. And every single one of those profile markers were elevated. They'd all been elevated through the black noise process. And how we did that was we worked with masters of their own craft, Meyer Sound, to create a proprietary device that plays Metallica music at a very low frequency. You know, basically so low that you're just hearing this muffled hum. If you've ever been at a concert and you're hearing them kind of fiddle with the sound and you're hearing that whoa, or the high notes, it is that low frequency that creates a vigorous vibration and rapidly moves the whiskey in and out of the barrel at a very, very fast pace. It's a process that's called acoustic cavitation. So it's creating at a molecular level little needle points of the whiskey. So it's just going in and out of the wood, just at such a fast pace, it's going past the red line where the whiskey normally would interact with the wood in the barrel. So it's pretty mind-blowing that we actually can use sound to enhance the whiskey.
And Brad, just so you know, Rob's explaining in a very scientific way. When Dave first made the whiskey, before Blackened even came out, I was with him in New Orleans at a big thing called Tales of the Cocktail, and I was very fortunate to be one of the first people to ever try this. He had them in mason jars, and he explained in so many words what Rob just said. And of course, I've been, you know, we're in New Orleans, been drinking for 10 hours, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get out of here. You know, we don't. And he says, no, Dan, I promise you. And he had 3 jars, and he said, you know, one had undergone no black noise, and then this one had undergone black noise with a this playlist, and then this one had undergone black noise with an entirely different playlist, okay? And we try all 3 of them, and a palpable difference between each one of those whiskeys. And I just was looking at Dave going, okay, what is a magic trick here? What are you doing? And he says, I promise you, that's the only difference. It's the same liquid. One didn't do it. One underwent it with this playlist and one, and they were 3 different whiskeys. And it's really incredible. And you've got 3 behind you, Brad. And I bet you they're going to taste different, right, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brad can't taste them all now, though. He's already told you, can't taste them all now. We'll lose them before the end of the show, but yeah.
I got 3 glasses. I prepared.
Good man. You prepared.
So then, Rob, my question is if you played because you played Metallica to flavor whiskey, which is fucking cool, let's just say it. Would the whiskey taste different if you played, like, Taylor Swift?
You know... I think I'd be a little depressed, maybe, you know.
this whiskey's a little flimsy.
Would your significant other leave you, and then you have to like write a song about it? Like, does that inspire you?
I think the whiskey would leave me at that point.
I just love that you did it. Like the fact that this guy did it with Metallica. That's just perfect. Like, there's only a couple bands where if they said, like, we're making a whiskey, that I would try it. And Metallica is one of them. And like you said, Metallica thankfully didn't want to just slap a label and say, like, hey, this is Metallica brand Jack Daniels. Like, they didn't want to do that. They said, no, we want our own thing. And it's great. Like, I would do an AC/DC whiskey. I would do a Metallica whiskey. I would do a Motorhead whiskey. It's got to be.
Don't the Pogues have a whiskey?
Yeah, the Pogues have a whiskey, which I'm surprised because.
But I heard it's got no teeth to it. That's a Shane McGowan joke there. Brad, can I go on tour with you? You need an opener? Oh, I lost the room. So what is that like when you lose? When was the last time you've lost the room, Brad? Do you just know that moment and you go, ah, fuck, I'm done?
Oh, God. When's the last time you lost the room? For a comic, a good comic, surprisingly, is losing the room more often because we're trying things. We're trying stuff. And, man, I did a Zoom show. I did a corporate Zoom gig where the corporation hired me to do stand-up for a bunch of their employees all over Zoom. And so here's the thing about Zoom. We all know that how everyone forgets to turn on the microphone, mute the microphone, whatever. So this CEO has told her clients, hey, laugh, but don't like go nuts. Cause remember your microphone's on. And so it's Zoom. So if you laugh and talk, it comes in just as clear as when Brad laughs and he talks. So we want to hear Brad. So just be careful, laugh, but you know, don't go nuts. The CEO gave a speech like that, sent out an email right before the show.
Don't laugh.
Like, to laugh, but not. So then the CEO has a party there in her own house. There's 10 people watching me, and they're laughing and talking and doing all this stuff. And now I can't even I can't even get a word in because their words are going over, like, so no one can hear me. Finally, I kind of get it to where it's a good balance. And I've told them, hey, guys, shut the fuck up and let me do my thing. And then there's a low after I tell a punchline, and apparently their Zoom camera went out because you heard someone clear as day just say, ah, oh, well, now we can't see him. And if you can't see him, he's not funny.
Oh, shit.
That happens, and it's clear as a bell over the entire Zoom call. And I'm just like, all right. I just keep staring at the check like, okay, how much are they paying me?
Well, Rob, right. You got to be doing those too, right, Rob? I mean, this is in our the brave new world we're living in. Are you? How are you finding that, doing these sort of remote tastings?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. We're doing whiskey tastings. It's always a little weird. I mean, sometimes we have it set up where we've sent out samples ahead of time and people actually have the whiskey there. Other times they don't have your whiskey. So they've got a bottle of, you know, whatever sitting in front of them. But it is kind of a similar thing because there's always that background noise aspect or someone's kid, kind of running in and talking into the microphone.
Kilo the dog, yeah. Barking
Kilo
away.
Kilo the dog, exactly. So it is, obviously it's a brave new world when it comes to tasting and interacting with people. And it's always interesting. The other part of it, I think, is you're seeing people's houses. You're seeing, people are literally sitting there probably in their underwear, you know, they got the shirt on the top, but you know, they're in their underwear probably. And it's people act differently when they're comfortable in their house as opposed to if you're at like a whiskey event or something.
Yes.
Because they're sitting at their normal desk that they normally sit at, and it's another type of TV, interactive TV, so to speak. So it's got its own weird challenges for sure.
You know, the brand hasn't been around that long. I mean, what about a year and a half before this all hit, right?
Yeah, it was a year and a half, I think.
How is it impacting, obviously on premise, taking a hit, but do you just focus your attention more on the retail side of things or?
Yeah, it's impacting on a couple of levels. One, I was really, really excited for 2020 because we were going to basically tour with Metallica and do all these great activations. We're going to be the official whiskey. And I was like, no. I mean, like you want to talk about like just bummed out on so many levels, you know, like I was going to go on tour with Metallica. It was, you know, in my own way, you know, my little whiskey tour. So the shift from that, having to get over the disappointment, you know, I just laid curled up in bed for, you know, months and, lamenting, but, just nipping on the bottle. But honestly, we shifted gears really quickly. We've had great success this year despite COVID because people they haven't stopped drinking. They're just drinking in different places. They're drinking at home. They're drinking with their buddies, you know. And so, you know, we've actually had growth this year, which has really been pretty phenomenal in a really just strange, bizarre time.
You know what I can't wait for? Maybe someday in the not too distant future, Brad's playing a show in Denver, and Rob, you and I go to the show. We watch a show and then we all go out and have some whiskey in a good bar like that one by your place, Rob, that we went to that one day, that old dive bar. What's it called?
Fort Greene.
Yeah. Rob's got a great bar around the corner from his house. You touched on it, Rob, you know, having these opportunities that you always think are going to be there. And I think if there's any good thing that's going to come out of this fucking shit show we're in right now, is that I will never again I've let so many opportunities go by where I go, oh, I'm not going to go, including going to see Metallica when they, the very first night, Dave was still alive. Our buddy Jimmy invited me and I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like going to Wisconsin. It was going to be pain to go hang out with Metallica. Right. I said, I'll just do it another time. And I'll see Dave another time. And Dave died a month later. So I never saw him again. And I didn't get to see Metallica. And if anything COVID has taught me is when we get out of this, I'm doing everything I fucking can, man. It's going to, I think, teach us all a really great appreciation for being able to be together and do things and to never let those opportunities pass by.
Absolutely.
I would agree, man. I skipped the Slane's Castle, the Metallica show in Ireland. I had a good reason. But that was the first show that they said, hey, you want to come see, you know, Metallica show. This will be the first one working for Blackened. And I was like, hell's yes. I want to see him, especially in Ireland. You know, I love Ireland. And my niece, she was 9 years old and she had made it to state gymnastics. And I had promised her if she made it to state that Uncle Robbie was going to be there. And it was on the exact same day that concert was there. And when our CEO said, all right, yeah, you're going to go. I said, yes, absolutely. I was what date? And he said, this date. And I was like, nope, can't do it.
Oh, and, man. Yeah. Oh.
And I was like, you know, I'll give her a hard time when she's old enough to you know, take your ribbon.
I hope she won when you
sing her. She had a good time, but, you know, it was the thing is family comes first, you know, and that was.
It's funny you bring up Slane. That was the last place I went before this all shut down. I was in Ireland. I flew back here 4 days before Los Angeles shut down, and I went to Slane Castle. Alex Cunningham's a friend of mine that owns the castle, and I'd never been, and U2's, you and I've talked about this, Rob, big band in my life, and that's where they recorded The Unforgettable Fire, and I got to go and sit in the room where they did it, and in the exact spot, the woman said, this is where the microphone was, and I just sat there and got some great pictures. And again, I think back to that time, and it's like there's, you know, BC and AC, and that was before COVID. You could go to Ireland, and I was in pubs in Ireland and I can't wait to do that again, man. I will never turn down a fun trip like that again. And you know,
you talk about how we're all going to meet up in Colorado and go to this bar. Thankfully, Colorado has, many comedians would say, it's the best comedy club in the world. The Comedy Works in Denver is the best club in the world. It just is. It's run by a wonderful woman named Wendy Curtis, you know, a woman in a man's world who's just the most badass club owner ever. And that's one of the only clubs that Dave Chappelle still does. He still does that club because of how good it is.
What makes a good comedy club and a bad one? Is it the way, you know?
Yeah. Good. Like the downtown club is not open right now. For me, that's the perfect comedy club. It's low ceilings. Everyone is tight together, really tight together. Everyone's facing the stage. It's something you don't really think about, but a lot of comedy clubs have tables where people are like at dinner and then they turn to watch the comedian. When you turn to watch the comedian, that's not a natural, comfortable position. So you're more likely to turn back and then start talking to your table. Oh my God, that's so true. Sarah, that's you. You're a bitch. What? And, you know, and then the staff is great. And it's weird how you can go to a comedy club and know that the owner of this club actually cares about comedy and not necessarily just making a buck or selling mozzarella sticks. Like, and Wendy Curtis, owner of the Comedy Works, loves comedy. So she wants to make the perfect comedian in the perfect environment for comedy to take place. So yeah, she does. And so to watch a show at the Comedy Works the next time I'm there, which I go there every, I go there every year. I even went this year, even during the pandemic, I went and did a show, and it was like fourth capacity. The tables were spread apart, and I still went. And our buddy John Elway actually came to that show. So he was in the audience. So to have my hero come to see me do my thing, that was a mind fuck in itself. So when all this is over, Dan, you, me, Elway, we're all going.
Hopefully they carry Blackened. Do they carry Blackened at that club, Rob? Do you know?
I'm going to work on it for sure. Now, I love that place. I love that club. I literally live 10 minutes away. It's epic. So I'm in, man.
Rob, we're doing it. They'll carry Blackened. We'll come up. And much like we did at Red Rocks, we'll have a table on the stage once the show is done.
Perfect.
No, me, Rob, and Elway. No, me, Rob, and Elway are going to sit on stage while you do the comedy. And yes, yeah, there we go. We'll be like, don't mind us.
That does sound like the beginning of a joke, though. You know, like a guy with an eye patch, John Elway and Dan Dunn walk into a bar.
Yeah, what's going? Can I ask that? What's going on with the eye patch? That's a new accoutrement. I don't remember you having this before.
I'm very serious about whiskey, so I had a biometric spectrophotometer installed into my eye, so I can actually see whiskey on the molecular level. So it's still healing up, but I mean, you guys would know this. A lot of other people get this like weird question mark in their eyes. But my friend's been joking that I'm the $6 million man. You know, Steve Austin. We can rebuild him. I had an accident. In September. Pretty gnarly one. Had 77 stitches here. They had to rebuild my eye socket and
had a fractured neck. Was this a motorcycle thing? I know you ride the bike.
No, it wasn't a motorcycle, but it was 10 feet into concrete. But I was very quick thinking. I stopped the fall with my face. So that saved everything else.
Are you okay? Are you going to be all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I just repeat myself sometimes.
Me and Brad are going to be tasting Blackened in like a year and be like, what's wrong with this shit? Well, Rob had a head injury.
And Rob, I said this before we started talking, but I think the eye patch really helps you as a whiskey guy because like now you got an eye patch, you got mutton chops, you're smoking a cigar. Like if that guy comes up to me and says, try this whiskey, I made it. I'm like, fuck yes. This is gonna be good whiskey. You know what I mean? Like there's just certain people that when they look apart, it just kind of helps. Like the aforementioned Taylor Swift looks like a pop star. I'm not gonna take a whiskey from Taylor Swift and say like, oh, this is probably great whiskey. The same way I'm not gonna look at you and be like, I bet you he sings about teenage angst really well. You know, like
all of his exes.
That guy makes a good tiki drink.
The only thing missing is the boat. You need like a trawler. So Rob needs to be on it. All right, get on the boat. You know, and he's like got the Quint. You got a Captain Quint thing going on right now, man. And by the way, that thing in the background, what is that? A Blackened neon sign?
No, it's actually a buddy of mine gave it to me. It's made out of soldered copper pipe and guitar strings so that the letters are actually held on with guitar strings.
Oh, shit. I want one of those. The guy make them. Can I buy one of those?
They make them. Yeah, we can find them for sure.
Jesus, that's cool.
Buddy of mine gave it to me as a glad you're still alive gift.
So, I mean, it was that bad. I mean, you could have gone worse. I could have been interviewing Taylor Swift right now about her whiskey.
Yeah, definitely. And you would have been drinking strawberry infused vodka or whiskey or something. You know,
the thing about Taylor, I've had Taylor Swift's whiskey and it's not bad, but don't drink it if you're one of her ex-boyfriends because it'll kill you. They poison it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She writes angry songs about her exes, right? Isn't that kind of her thing?
Yeah. And Taylor Swift's whiskey, it will get you drunk initially, but you just shake it off. It's fine.
Oh, no. No. Rob doesn't know that that's a Taylor Swift song, do you?
I'm
shake it off.
I can figure it.
Oh no, he knew. He just didn't laugh.
He's got her on vinyl. Rob's got a world-class vinyl collection as well. And
can we talk about the, I mean, I don't know if this is available to everybody, but you guys sent me a fucking gift box that has.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it.
Oh my God. Here, I have it right here. I can't prepare. Man. So you can get, can anyone get this, or is this just for like midgets who do comedy?
Yeah, we only made one.
Oh, great.
Just for you.
It's a collector's item. No, you actually can still get it. You can get it online. There's Cass Cartel or Spirited Gifts still have a few left. But I got to tell you, man, that was one of those pinnacle moments of like, you know, I've arrived. The band is they take turns picking the playlist for every batch. So you can always pick out which band member, you know, per batch. You can go on blackandwhiskey.com and look up, batch 96 is Kirk Hammett. And you can see all the songs. And then right next to it is a Spotify icon. And then you can click on that and it will actually populate that playlist. So you can listen to that Metallica playlist that was played to that whiskey.
Wow.
And it's, I mean, for me, that's such a cool concept already. And then the guys were really cool enough to ask me to pick 12 songs for the Batch 100 playlist and make it into a vinyl record. And they were originally going to just release one record. Lars was going to curate it down to six songs.
Sticks covers?
Sticks, yeah, three per
Come
side.
Sail Away? Sorry. I'll edit that out. I'm just trying to be funny because I really do want to open for Brad someday. I'm trying to get some jokes in there. See if I
can find the rhythm for it.
Chops. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Forget my sticks joke.
It was pretty fun. And Lars decided, he's like, I love all 12 songs. We're making a two record release. And so we got a two picture disc vinyl with the Batch 100 box set. So it was epic for me. I mean, and I got to go through and dedicate songs to, you know, buddies from the Army. Yeah, there's Dave. Dedicate them to, you know, metalhead friends from school and, you know, from high school. You know, it was pretty fun.
What an amazing ride, man, for you to go from.
Is on the vinyl, is this Dave?
That's Dave, yeah. Yeah.
R.I.P. Dave, man. I'm so excited. Like, I literally, I don't have a record player, but now that I have this vinyl, I'm going to buy a record player. Just
nice,
so I can.
Good man.
I've got the audio technique of it. Rob's a true vinyl file. He can probably steer you in the right direction in terms of a system.
I'm definitely an analog guy for sure. That's some of those records I grew up with were my folks. And then I've had my collection for years. And then we just kind of combined them. My parents decided to downsize. So I inherited all their crazy stuff. And I got a wall of vinyl in there. It's fun for me. It's like a library.
Love it. Guys, I love talking to you, but I'm just staring at whiskey. When do I get to drink this stuff?
Let's have some whiskey right now. Let's cheers. Let's cheers to this. And I've got the, I've got batch 103.
Yep.
Brad, you're drinking the 100.
I've got batch 100. So this
is 105.
So we've got got a lot of that 100 early hundreds covered here. Cheers, guys.
Yeah. Here we go. Cheers.
And it is a great whiskey, everybody out there. And Blackened, I mean, it's in price range is amazing, right? You guys are in $40-some range, right?
Yeah, we're at $47.99.
You can't beat it.
That's fucking good.
It's
fucking
glad you enjoy it, man.
I mean, when you said you have some, like, you have the rye in there as well, I was like, oh man, I don't really like rye too much. But man, that is a smooth beginning. The bite comes kind of at the end, but it's not overwhelming. That is good.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty about it is just like designing a song or designing whiskey, you're looking for a balance. And I always feel like a good whiskey has to have it's like a story, like a three act play. It's got to have a beginning and a middle and an end, and you got to taste it every step of the way, all the way through. And I like the balance of, you know, the bourbon. It sounds like you kind of lean more towards bourbon, less rye.
Yeah.
We kind of find a good balance between the two of them, you know, between bourbon, rye, and then the black brandy is just really kind of what ties it all together as a kind of just that, another, that kind of underlying sweet note you're going to get from the brandy.
That is good.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you enjoy it.
I think Brad's got a new favorite whiskey back there now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the aforementioned Jefferson's Ocean was my favorite. This might be good. This might be
awesome,
better.
Man.
People ask me all the time about it because I've talked about it. I've had Rob on the show before, and then, you know, they'll pull me aside to say, no, seriously though, is it any good, or is it just because it's Metallica? I'm like, no, we've gone over this. Dave Pickerel created it. Rob, who put Stranahan's on the map, which everybody loves Stranahan's, so I go, these are two guys that have forgotten more about whiskey than most people know. It's not a gimmick, right? The band is invested in it. They have given you the tools you need to make great whiskey, and you're nailing it, man. You really are. And I couldn't recommend this one more highly. I have my very, very small pod of friends that come over, and we just play darts. And we knocked off a bottle of Blackened last week just playing darts. It was great. And by the way, my game gets better. You get down to about a quarter bottle left, you don't want to fuck with me in darts, man. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like it's like playing pool. Like if you're sipping whiskey and you're just killing, you're running the board, you're running the table, and then that one sip over, and it's all of a sudden the balls are flying everywhere. You know, for me, I'm a pool shark until that next sip, you know, too far.
Well, guys,
yeah,
this has been
definitely.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I'm the same way with comedy, where there's a sweet spot where if I'm a little bit in, it's great, and then if I have one more sip, then I start fucking like this and be like, "What are you talking about? I'm funny. Fuck you." And Rob, I will also say, I'm usually the guy that likes my whiskeys with one rock splash of water. That's kind of usually how I take it. Blackened. This is good neat. I'm having it neat right now, and it's delightful.
It's easy. You know, I'm kind of the same way. If I'm doing a little bit of drinking with friends or whatever, I'll throw some cubes in there. You know, it's I joke that my favorite cocktail is whiskey and ice. but, you know, let's keep it simple, you know.
Good mix.
Don't forget the ingredients.
It's not far off. I mean, I'm kind of right there with you. I like to do it really simple as well. I mean, there's something to be said for elaborate cocktails, but at the end of the day, it's for me, what usually does it is something like that. I mean, I'm drinking it with a couple of cubes right now, and it's doing me good. I just wish I didn't have to do a live stream right after this, which I do. I have to be on. I have to do an hour long live stream with Glenn Big Baby Davis. You know, the basketball player. I'll be switching over to rum from here, and, it's going to be a disaster, I can tell. No.
Dan, do you keep a liver in the fridge?
You know what? Here's the key to this in this job, and it's the same. You talked about it, Brad, about, you know, and Rob, I'm sure will agree. You can't do a job in the adult beverage business if you don't know how to moderate. There are times, and I think there's been times with me and you, Rob, where we've had a couple, many.
Yeah.
But not when you're doing your shit, man. Like, people go, man, they read my books. They go, oh, when you're writing, man, are you fucked up? No, I'm not fucked up. Like, try going out. I'm sure we've all done this. You go out sober and you're around a bunch of drunk people. It's the least entertaining thing in the world, right? You know, like, yeah. Oh my God. So it's a matter of, you know, you got to pick your spots. And, and my spot now is I got to go do a live stream. But I want to thank both of you for coming on. Brad Williams, where do people find you on the social medias?
Yeah, go to Twitter at Funny Brad. Go to Instagram at Brad Williams Comic. If you want to see photos of me and that I am a real life dwarf, it's not just a hook. And yeah, for tour dates, go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. In 2021, right now, I'm scheduled pretty much to do a full batch, but just know that gigs change. This is a new world. If gigs have to get delayed, just know that I will be back to those cities, but just be aware. Buy your tickets. I'm coming out. I've read some stats. My daughter's going to be over 1 year old, so the stats kind of go more in favor once she gets past there. And I'm not a doctor, so don't quote me on that to your friends. But yes, yeah, so I'm going to go back on the road. Hope to see some of you guys out there. And but no matter what, just continue to be safe so we can all get through this.
And Rob, what about you, man?
Agreed. Well, for one, I'm coming to see you next time you're in Denver, so we can sit there and drink with Elway and laugh our asses off, because dude, you are a funny mofo.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And you know, I'm excited. I'm just looking forward to the time when we can all drink together in person. That's I miss those days. I miss the interaction. So it's always a pleasure drinking with you, Dan. Brad, it's good to meet new friends, and I'm looking forward to in person.
Hell yeah.
And you can follow me at The Imbiber, and you can follow the podcast at WWD_podcast. That's our new Instagram. Our podcast grew up, and I said, you know what? You've been riding my coattails on my Instagram for too long, podcast. Here's your own Instagram. So you have it now. And there'll be video up there of this. You can check it out. And as always, I know, guys, there's a lot of options out there for podcasts. And I appreciate you tuning in and spending time with us here. Once again, Brad Williams and Rob Dietrich. Guys, thank you for making my day, man. This has been a lot of fun. And again, we're going to do this in person soon. And how about Metallica takes us out right now?